Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We're back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining the show. Episode number 391. Very, very excited for you to join us, especially if you found us via the one of two places, the Podcast Addict app sports page, where we are currently promoting ourselves. If you found us there, welcome. Send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Give us your first impression of the show, good or bad. We've heard it all. Additionally, same goes out to the people that found us via the Overcast app in the comedy section, where I kind of gamed it because I don't know, we could get kicked off the Overcast app because I try to run a promotion on their comedy page, and you put in like a tagline for the show, or else it just uses the one that's associated with your show already. And that was kind of boring. So I wanted to like liven it up. So I said, I used the tagline "more fun than a missing white woman." And then they wouldn't accept my ad. They're like, no, people could see that. And I'm like, that's the point. So then I changed it to something else. I changed it to a quote from the great, maybe the greatest screenplay ever written, one of the greatest movies ever made, Boogie Nights, a movie that we reviewed here on this show. You'll have to go back and look at it. You can go to theballerlifestyle.com and search Boogie Nights. I changed the tagline to feel our heat, which I thought was pretty good too. But then I tricked them. And then once they approved it, I went back and changed the show description to "more fun than a missing white woman." So, hey, look, this is just what it is SEO here, right? I'm trying to help people find our show. I'm trying to like catch people looking. So hopefully that works. I would encourage everyone within the sound of my voice to subscribe to our Red Circle page. That's where you get the whole show without commercials. If you're listening to the free version, you're getting like 80% of the show, which is a lot. It's over, you know, it's usually around an hour and a half that you get. But if you're getting the whole show via our Red Circle page, you're getting about 2 hours worth of show. You get the extra stories, the stories that come towards the end, which are usually the more sus stuff, like Elon Musk. Elon Musk, congratulations are in order. Maybe we'll find out. I assume he lives in South Africa. We need to send him gifts because he's impregnated somebody, and there's a lot more to that story. We're going to talk about that, and you can only hear it if you listen to our subscription content. Additionally, you'll probably only hear about the man who planted pipe bombs at cell phone stores in Michigan because he was upset about porn. Yeah, he was upset that he loved jerking off to porn so fucking much that he wanted to blow people up. Weirdo. Michigander. You're not going to hear our thoughts on that unless you're subscribed to the whole show via Red Circle. There's more. There's a whole bunch more. So do that. Plus, you get all the bonus content we do there. Extra stuff every week. And it's just a great way to support the show. And by great, I mean extra great. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I will next week's show. My book will launch next Monday, I think.
What?
So what I'm going to tell you.
Oh my God. So secretive.
No. I'll tell you. But yeah. The book is holiday theme. It's a book about Christmas. And so I gave it the most clever name I could. Oh. It's called The Christmas Book.
Yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh. And if you enjoyed when we did Charlie Brown or Die Hard,
yep,
or anything like that, Gremlins, whatever.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, you'll enjoy it. But I'll do like the full announcement. But what I wanted to say, so the reason why I was thinking originally, I'll put it out like, I don't know, mid-November.
Yeah.
And then I've done a lot of research and stuff. And you realize like there are maniacs that are like way into Christmas shopping in the beginning of October.
Yeah.
There's a whole universe. Yeah. And then I had to get involved with a bunch of like Facebook pages, like of like, you know, a certain type of person that's celebrating Christmas all year round.
Yeah. What?
And Michelle set up a like, I don't know what I'm supposed to share. I'm not. Hey, listen, everybody's into whatever they're into. And I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy, you know, the different things about it, a tree and stuff. But I'm just not one of those people. But there are a ton of them. And so for marketing a book, if I want to sell as many books as possible, Michelle has created like an alternate me that's maybe a little more effeminate than I am. And so there's a different Adelie out there that's not me, but like don't start friending it or whatever. It's just its own thing, and I haven't posted anything that's not. It's just, listen, we got to do what we got to do in life.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's amazing. Like it's like anything. So when I was researching certain things like about so it's you know, it's a guidebook to all things, so music and stuff. And so I was trying to get into like the underground scene of like, there's so many cool indie bands that also have done some Christmas songs that you never hear in a you know, in the store or whatever. But you realize like the rabbit hole you can fall into with indie music, you know, some of these websites. And then just start, you know, you get involved with that. And there are people that are into everything on such a deep level. And you hear about like, you know, crazy fetish stuff, but like there is everything. People are, you think you're into, you know, The Simpsons or something. And then you realize there are people who are discussing the street addresses, like all the numbers on their houses in The Simpsons. You're like, whoa, I didn't think I was, you know, I thought I knew a little more than that. But yeah, it's crazy. It's just a crazy world.
It's hard. It's impossible to compete. It's impossible to be that knowledgeable about anything. That people are just way into one thing and they know everything about it. And it's like, I just, there's nothing I'm that into, which is okay. You know, like I don't have whatever those people have.
Yeah, I'm not anti people being into it, but like, yeah, it's like, well, people who are really into Christmas, this is the type of thing that, you know, they would buy. It was also my thought is, this is the type of book that you don't know what you're supposed to get your, you know, parent or something. In-laws. It's like, it's an easy, like, there's no politics, there's nothing racy in it. It's just, it's an examination. Everything. It's wholesome, but you realize like the guy who came up with Jingle Bells was a fucking Confederate goon.
See, I like that kind of shit. I like that kind of shit.
So yes, there's some stuff in there, but like, it's not, there's nothing offensive about it. It's just, you know, it is, but it's just, it's crazy how there's an alternate me out there. And there's just a whole alternate world where people are, you know, I was just thinking it would be a fun little thing at Christmas. And you realize like there are people that this is what they do in March, in July.
Now, I remember hearing about people or reading or seeing on the news, people that like go shopping for Christmas decorations, like the week after Christmas, because they want to get all the deals on the shit they're going to put out next week. I throw away. I'm like, I'm so sick of seeing this shit. I'll get some new shit next year. And I just fucking throw it away.
Those people, at least I see that they're going for a cheap angle.
Yeah. Yes.
What I'm confused by, like, it's, you know, it's mid spring and somebody's got like a spring tree out there. Like people are like celebrating it in a crazy way. And again, if you're one of the people that's buying this book, like there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying it's not my bailiwick. It's a little bit outside of what I knew even existed until
I've made it my mission. And anybody that follows my Insta stories knows this.
Meat sticks
are on there. That's a good one.
I could have a shower right before bed. A maybe take an Uber and get some roadhead on my Insta story.
Don't be boring on my Instagram.
Okay, we don't have to play the whole thing. On my Insta story, one of my missions, so there's three things I do there primarily. One, talk about how the salad I make is better than the salad you make. I haven't done that in a while, but that's what got me started. Right now,
I'm big. Is there a secret? Or are you just
no? That's what's funny about it is anybody can make a fucking salad. Here's my new thing that I'm doing: gas station meat stick reviews. I've been reviewing those, and I'll be honest, there's not that many good ones right now. The leader in the clubhouse is the Matador Original, not the Matador Jalapeno.
Is it too spicy?
It's not too spicy. It's the wrong kind of spicy. It's that like kind of sharp spicy, not flavorful, but right. It has like a sour taste as though it's turned. And everybody knows a meat stick can't turn because they live forever. That's what you're going to eat when we apocalypse before you eat people. So right now, leader in the clubhouse is Matador Original. So I do the meat stick reviews. Oh, my other thing is people that A, put their Christmas decorations up too early. And by too early, I mean before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, to me, like there's a starting point. So that's why it's weird to me that it'll be like October 4th and I'm coming out with a Christmas book. But I realize like I got to get in while people are buying shit.
Because people buy that shit. Yeah, they're not going to buy it on Christmas. You got to have it out there for Christmas. And people got to hear about it for a while before they make their purchase. So I don't fault you there. People who put their Christmas decorations out too early. People that leave them up too late. Because what I like to do, and this is another thing I do on my stories, is I go on a walk with my flak jacket on. Right. I walk around neighborhoods and I got the weight vest on, and I'll fucking look in your window. And if it's January 7th and your fucking tree is up, there's a good chance I'm knocking on your door. I need answers.
I would say most people that I know will have it up till like New Year's.
Yeah, that's New Year's is fine.
But to me, New Year's, once like the celebrating and just all of the boozing I've done that week, and I usually feel pretty bad about myself, the last thing I want to be doing is cleaning up stuff. So I would say for me, it's like a few days after Christmas, I'm like, all right, it's time to move on.
If I'm in town, and I'm not saying this needs to be the rule, I'm just saying this works for me. If I'm in town, I'll usually take it down the day after Christmas, unless I'm busy doing like going to brunch or I'm out that day.
Yeah.
Then I'll take it down the day after that. I'm just ready to have it gone. Christmas is over.
It's one of those things. I don't want to like get into Christmas stuff. Once Christmas is over, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're one of these people, and I'll allow this, if you're one of these people that fucking just cranks it to Christmas, you love Christmas so much. Okay. You can leave it up through the New Year's Day bowl games. When the Rose Bowl ends, hey, you're too buzzed.
That's the day.
Yeah. You don't have to take it down that night, but the next morning you get up, you have your coffee or in Ed's case tea or whatever you do in the morning. And you take that fucking tree down and you take the lights off your house. If you got the lights on your house illuminated into January, we got a problem. Now, maybe the light guy, maybe you pay a lot of people where I live, pay a light guy. And the light guy obviously can't take down everybody's lights on January 2nd. I once worked a season as the light guy. I worked for a guy that hung lights like as a second job. And I'm terrified of heights.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't do that because you have to be like up in trees and shit.
No, and these people don't have insurance. Like, you need to be careful with the light guys. So, maybe the lights need to stay up till the 8th or something, till the guy can get out and get them down. Don't just turn them off. You don't have them lit up.
You can barely tell when the lights are off in the trees.
That's right. Leave them off. So
didn't somebody find a couple of years ago, like Bob Dylan had like a crazy light show?
That wouldn't surprise me. I know he has like a real, like he lives like kind of like in a junkyard. I've heard in Malibu.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a lot of broken down trucks.
Yeah, like a Miyagi type.
Yes, yes. Yard. Yes, that's what I've heard. That would be exciting to know.
Yeah, I heard like people went by his house and it was like a pretty crazy light show, and they're like, Bob Dylan?
That's
like
he gets crazy light. Into it.
Yeah.
I know
weird Christmas music.
Yeah.
It's that pretty weird.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I'm excited to read the Christmas book from Ed Daly. I'm excited to discuss it here.
But really, you know, way more important is I think we've got some major news breaking, right?
Well, this came out today, and I don't know if everybody's ready for it. And it's I'm assuming this coincides with the release of the Sopranos movie, which I have not seen.
Oh, is it out on HBO? It's supposed to be an HBO thing, right?
I think it's a day and date situation. It's you can see it in the theater.
I've read some really sad headlines that were like, this is uncooked pasta. Like, everybody thinks they're clever coming up with, like, an Italian, like, really just sad review.
The thing is you can't compare it to The Sopranos. If you did a Sopranos, if The Sopranos were a movie instead of six seasons of amazing television, it wouldn't be as iconic. It would just be like a pretty good movie.
I remember not having strong feelings for the Breaking Bad movie.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. El Camino.
But I think it was okay. But like, you can have expectations. First of all, the best part of the show, one of the great underrated actors of his era, is not there. So, you know, that's part
of it. And the worst part of the show, Jesse Pinkman is featured.
That's true for the Breaking Bad movie. Yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about.
No, I'm saying Gandolfini's no longer with us. So
he's so good. Yeah.
The worst part of The Sopranos is AJ. One of the worst actors of all time.
Yeah. Well, I think he was doing a lot of, you know, like cruising through Washington Square Park at night and like, getting lots of pills and then like going to work the next day. So it's, you know, he probably wasn't ready for it. And this is the problem when you start these shows, you never know what they're going to turn into. Cause remember the, what was the show? Mad Men. There were the two kids. What was the daughter's name?
Sally Draper. She was a good actor.
She was great. But they started as little kids and she grew up to be great and become an amazing actress. And the little boy, the neighbor boy,
that was Matt Weiner's son.
The neighbor boy was great. Glenn. He was fantastic.
Creepiest kid on earth.
Super creepy. And Betty kind of liked it. She kind of liked that attention she was getting from Glenn.
Did he cut off her hair or something? Something weird went down.
Yeah. That was creepy. Oh, so speaking of this, little Stevie Van Zandt, Silvio Dante, who I still have not forgiven for what he did to Adriana.
Oh yeah.
I get that he's a soldier. And that
he was the most loyal soldier.
Yep. That was what was required of him as a fucking captain in the North Jersey thing.
Right.
So he had to take care of Adriana, and that was a bummer. For those of us that were fans of Adriana, I mean, she was a little whiny, but she was the eye candy on the show. She was a good character.
She was a fun character.
Little Steven, Silvio Dante came out today, and I guess an excerpt. He's also written a book, Ed. So you're in competition with the Little Steven memoir.
I could tell we're going to have a very similar fan base of this.
Yeah. I'm just going to read
the name
headline.
Of the memoir is called Unrequited Infatuations.
That doesn't even make sense. Oh, because he was, well, this is what he was infatuated with for at least a while. Stephen Van Zandt says he had a temporary addiction to menages a trois.
Hey, yo.
Hey, Tom.
I need two of them.
Hey, Tom, which... I've had every two girls at the Bing. Which two should I have tonight? I got
I can't get enough. I gotta have two every night. I gotta have two.
Hey, you know what's better than one girl fucking your bandana off? Two girls fucking your bandana off.
Do you think Polly Walnuts would approve? Because you know Polly Walnuts, I think he was kind of a germ phobe. So he was probably blowjob exclusive.
The real Polly Walnuts tried to have sex with Michelle and her friends in Miami Beach, like during season two.
Shut up. Yeah.
They went on some trip to Miami, and they're like, you know, we were staying the same place with Paul. I think it was Polly Walnuts and Steve Sharippa. And Polly Walnuts would not leave anyone alone.
Well,
maybe putting it out there.
Good thing. I mean, lucky for you. I mean, season two, Polly Walnuts was not quite a star yet. You get season four, he tries to pull that action. And, you know, Michelle and her friends, they got a confession to make. Steven Van Zandt loved threesomes so much in the 70s that he developed a temporary addiction to menages a trois. I do appreciate that because that's his quote. People a lot of times will say they will misuse they will incorrectly say like brother-in-laws. Like,
or it's attorneys general.
Yes, exactly. It's brothers-in-law. It's the plural is the thing. So he's saying he likes menages a trois, not menage a trois, which I appreciate that. He writes in his new memoir, Unrequited Infatuations. It was a real sexually liberated time. How fucking old is this guy, Ed? Ed, have you looked already?
No, I've not.
What's his age? I can't explain. He was young back when he did that thing. Still alive, and I don't know why. How old is this fucking guy?
Ed Daly, little Steven Van Zandt, Silvio Dante from the E Street Band, and also the manager of the Bada Bing, owner of the Bada Bing. How fucking old is this guy?
Well,
that show went off the air, what, 20 years ago? Close to it.
But I know he was like an original E Street Band guy.
Yeah.
And so Bruce, I know, is in his 70s, 72 or so.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say little Steven, I'm going to say he was like a little bit older. I'm going to say he's 76, 77.
Pretty close. Little Steven Van Zandt sharing a birthday with friend of the show, Travis Rogers, exactly to the day, 21 years older than our friend Travis Rogers, he will turn 71 on November 22nd, born.
He's younger than Bruce?
He's younger than Bruce, 1950. But that means, Ed, that means on The Sopranos, he was like 50.
Wow.
Late 40s, early 50s on The Sopranos.
You know, it's funny. He wore that wig, which was great for the character. But then when he's just like giving interviews as a musician, you realize like he wasn't acting that much. Like
No, he's the same guy.
He really is.
He's just like hamming it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just, like the first couple seasons, like, let's be honest, he couldn't act. But then he like settles into the character.
You're rewatching it, so you would know better. But I didn't have unfavorable thoughts on his acting by the end.
No, me either. Because that's the thing you forget about The Sopranos, or at least I did. It's really funny, and he's super funny in that role. Like the lines they give him, and just the way he is, the way he portrays it is super funny. I will say I love his channel on Sirius Radio, Little Steven's Underground Garage, where they'll probably be playing a lot of that Christmas music that Ed talks about in his new book, The Christmas Book. A couple more things before we get into it. And congratulations to Little Steven for apparently
Did he put in the work?
He must have worked through his addiction to threesomes.
Wow. Wonder how you kick it.
I mean, you know, he's on the road with Bruce. And it's just one, you know, like, it's like almost famous. You know, there's...
I mean, the thing with Bruce, though, is eventually a member of the band was his wife. So the roadie situation, that just stopped. So he probably was getting all kinds of shrapnel once Patty was with Bruce.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because he's, I mean, other than the big man, R.I.P.
Oh, yeah.
He's the second most famous member of the band.
Yes.
Not, he's not famous enough to guest star on Different Strokes, obviously.
No.
But still, he's easily recognizable with his with the bandanas, the scarves.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's
put in the work. Yeah, he
definitely did. Good for him. There's one more thing. There was another birthday this weekend.
Oh yeah.
And I wanted to bring up to you Julio Iglesias, Ed. He had a birthday this weekend, and I thought to myself, you know, I grew up, my grandmother was from Central America, first generation, and Julio Iglesias was a big part of my childhood. Like, if my grandma was, like, driving, if I was going somewhere with her, you know, I spent a lot of time with her. If we were driving somewhere, there was some Julio Iglesias playing in the car. Occasionally, she'd throw on some Zamfir. Do you remember Zamfir?
No. I know.
The Master Julio. Of the Pan Flute? She would throw on some Zamfir, but she was mostly into Julio Iglesias, and we would listen to him a lot. So Julio Iglesias, he had a birthday just this weekend, Ed, and it made me think of you because I wondered if you would like to guess how fucking old is this guy?
So,
what's his age?
So I lived in Miami in the mid 80s.
Yep.
84, 85, I think I lived there.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who he was before I went to Miami. And then I got to Miami and I had a teacher who was obsessed with him.
He was very popular.
She was an old bird.
Yep.
And she was smitten with Julio Iglesias. And he was like, he was already like a grown man, like a seasoned. I'm going to say he was about 50 then. Yeah. So I'm going to say maybe not quite 50. I'm going to say he's about 86 or 7 years old. 80, yeah, something like that.
You're being generous, because I was well versed in the Julio Iglesias world, and I thought around 1985, you know, he was a handsome older man, don't get me wrong.
He was an older guy, I think, because he was one of these older in the sun guys. He looked a little leathery in the mid 80s.
Good looking. Very tan. He's a Spaniard. His son, Enrique, I believe, has
who had his moment like 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. He's got the mole. I thought Julio Iglesias was in his late 50s in the mid 80s, which would put him, well, that was 35 years ago. So that would make him 60 plus 35, 95 minus 1. That'd make him 94 years old right now. If he was, I'll take a year. Say he was 58 in 1985, which is what he looked. He's 93 right now, much like my grandmother. Wow. Well, I looked it up. Julio Iglesias had a birthday this weekend. Ed, he's a sprightly 78.
Whoa. So I was off by like 10 years.
Yes, you were a decade over. I was a decade and a half over. The man is 78 years old as of a few days ago. Happy birthday, Julio Iglesias. You look fantastic.
I'm sure he looks great, but
great.
But yeah, he looks seasoned at the time, but good looking, but seasoned. I am a sucker for Where Are They Now and all the, like, clickbait. I fall for it every time. So I saw a story this weekend and it was like, Raquel Welch seen for the first time in a couple years.
I saw that too.
And I was like, well, I wonder what she looks like. And then it was like, yeah, she's 82.
She's old, like, as fuck. Yeah, she looks, like, pretty good.
She looks pretty good. And you, I saw people like, and people are like, oh, I definitely wouldn't have sex with her. It's like, she's 82. She's still got to be like pinup model fuckable. Like, you know, leave her alone.
I'll tell you what, though. In her prime.
Oh, Raquel, one of the all-timers. Maybe. I think certainly a top three of all time.
Wow.
But for 82, like,
looks great.
I'd like to look like that when I'm 82.
Dude, remember when 82 was a fucking walker? Like, if you're lucky, you'd have a walker.
Yeah, you weren't normally going shopping by yourself.
No, you couldn't drive yourself. You had to be pushed.
You were wearing a dribble bib and you were just like staring into the corner. Like, yeah, good for her.
82's the new 68.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, she looks fantastic. She's got great genes. Okay, before we get into everything else, I wanted to recommend a show that I'm watching. It's on Netflix. I might fuck up the name. It's Korean. Is anybody listening? And Ed, I don't know, you might have watched this already. Squid Game.
Oh, is it like a game show? Like a?
It's not a game show, but it's a show about, not a game show, but about these down on their luck people in Korea that have a chance to have a big come up by playing a game. But as you might imagine, there are twists. It's good. I highly recommend it.
It's Netflix.
It's Netflix. Squid Game.
I'll check it out.
You got to read it. Yeah, I know you don't like doing that.
Yeah,
you got to read it.
Well, we're getting closer to the time where I can't bike outside. And so that's when I do the elliptical, where I watch stuff while I
do it.
So, yeah.
Is it getting is it almost to your near perfect favorite temperature of 50 degrees?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now, the last couple mornings, I've been riding and it's like 63. And to like to be like hauling ass and 63 degrees, it's perfect.
I will say, and you know, I'm a summer person. I hate the fall. Gets dark early. Seasonal affective disorder kicks in. Oh, my God. That's another thing I want to talk about. I'm sorry. I have so much to talk about. I will admit that for exercise, for exercise or playing golf, mid 60s weather.
Yeah, it's
is perfect.
It's perfect because
you need it cool.
I mean, if you're working out, like if I'm riding pretty hard on my bike, it's like I'm not cold. It's 63 and you're using up energy. It's perfect.
Yes. No, totally. Yeah, it makes a big difference. If you work out at 70 degrees or you work out at 80 degrees, you have way less energy. You are sapped much quicker in the heat.
But then in about a month, it'll be, the problem is it just gets really windy. So when you're trying to ride your bike into a cold wind, it's brutal.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, the one thing before we get into it that I had a doctor's appointment today. I'm having an issue, and I think it's because I've sort of let myself go over the past couple months. I'm drinking an IPA as we speak. I'm not a weekday drinker. I've had a lot of stress in my life of late. Everything's fine. Nobody needs to worry about me, but I've kind of let myself go physically. I'm not, you know, people aren't seeing me doing my Insta stories where I'm walking in my flak jacket. I just been way too busy podcasting, working, whatever. Not making excuses, but it is time for me to reset the clock on myself. And I might, and I know it's cliche, but I'm considering doing a sober October.
it's tough. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm like you. I just have to reset the clock sometimes. Yep. So I was really in a bad way midsummer.
Yeah.
And so from July 15th until this past weekend, I was sober. Yeah. It was a long time.
That's and then, a long ass time.
And I texted you about it, but
yeah.
I was supposed to go to Nashville and hang out yep. with some buddies. And I was like, all right, that's mm-hmm. the time to take a break.
Yep.
And I sat on a fucking runway for 5 hours and then Insane. They pulled back in and canceled the flight.
What happened to the passenger's bill of rights? They can make you sit on the runway for 5 hours.
Yeah. And so I tied one on this weekend. I did
Good a for you.
Because Good for like, you. I was so frustrated. So I'm back. I think I'm going to do a sober October too. I'm just going to try. Yeah, because I just know inevitably there's just always some person to meet and drinking and eating like crazy at the like between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I'm really trying to get into some real fighting shape before Christmas. I mean, before the Christmas season starts.
The only caveat I have, and I'm not haven't committed to sober October. But I'm probably going to do it. The only caveat I have is that Dead and Company, which of course are three of the surviving members of the Grateful Dead and some other fantastic musicians, along with John Mayer, are playing at the Hollywood Bowl. And I have tickets. And I believe it's right before, it's like the 30th that I have tickets.
But hang on. I mean,
yeah.
Drinking, you could. I mean, you can smoke weed, right? Like,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you still want to have that thing in your hand, you know? Yeah, it's
true.
Like
that's true.
You want to be sipping on something while you're watching people play music, you know? Like it's just feels like not. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there will be other substances ingested. Assuming I go, I might change my mind. We'll see. Okay, Ed, let's do some voicemail.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His thoughts are useless. Shit.
He's like, worried about old Ish. I haven't heard from Ish. Few years.
And look, he's playing catch up.
I remember last time we heard from him, he was like 100 episodes behind right. on the show. So he might just, if so he's 100 episodes.
He's
just right now. Yeah. He's just right now getting some information that's going to make him upset. But I'm worried. What if the vid got him? What if he succumbed?
Rip Ish.
R.I.P. Anybody in the Memphis area, if you know Ish, let him know. We're thinking of him. We hope he's doing okay with the vid situation. Let's hear some voicemails.
Beckner, Daly, what up? Hey, we need to get a pop.
Coming in hot, Ed. I like this. He just said our names. Didn't even say our whole names. He didn't do the whole Brad Beck, CZ Eduardo Diario, Travis Rogers, Caleb, Jason Stewart. He just gets right to it. And now he's right into his take. Let's hear what it is.
And then, hey, we need to get a public service announcement going, word of mouth through the Baller Lifestyle community and any other communities that we have access to. Saw something that just scared the life out of me. All right? And I thank God because I do have blue hairs in my family.
Don't we all?
You know, these old codgers, being my parents, my mother and father. And thank God my father doesn't have a cell phone and my mother only operates a cell phone when she's not driving. Because, like I say, scared the bejesus out of
me. We could be into some texting and driving.
Uh-oh.
Discussion here. I mean, he has a lot of issues on the road with the way people drive. He doesn't like handicapped drivers. Teslas.
Like mini bikes.
Mini bikes. So the carpool lane. It's major issues with something happening in the carpool lane.
Billboards.
Yes, billboards. I'm interested to know where he's going with this, but I feel like there's a texting and driving situation.
I'm on the 110. And this freaking Methuselah is driving.
Oh, we got an older driver's situation.
Olds.
He doesn't like old drivers either.
Doing the millennial palm pilot. Meaning he's got, left hand on the steering wheel.
Yep.
Right hand on the cell phone. Oversized iPhone, as I could see.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the fact that this dude's got to be pushing like 85.
Wow, yeah.
And no pops.
Yeah.
How about you don't drink or drive and cell phone at the same time, buddy? Can we tell all of our older brethren or parents to not be doing that stupid shit? It's bad enough that they still have their driver's license. Some of them, you know what I mean? My parents, thankfully, are still good. But we all know some of these old codgers are just freaking basically driving tanks at war. My goodness, they're just waiting to run people over and slam into somebody. And they don't need to be palm piloting a damn cell phone at the same time.
Remember when?
So I want all you baller community to take it upon yourself.
Do it. Vigilantism. Now,
these old folk, these oldies for goody, hey, calm down and stick to the driving.
Yep.
You're lucky to still have a driver's license, first off. And I don't, ageism be damned. I don't care. We're going to be saving lives, damn it. So please, we need to make this a thing. We need to tell people anywhere north of probably 60.
Okay.
So put the damn cell
phones That's away. Right. Put your phones away, people.
You
okay.
Your desired destination.
All right.
All right. Got it.
Thanks for that, buddy.
I
mean,
I think under 62, we got to all be worried about that. Now, I will say.
It's very dangerous.
I don't text and drive. But when I tried to put that stop thing on. You know, like your phone's disabled when you're driving kind of thing. The problem is if you're at a light or something and you want to change something or check something and then you can't. And so I get it. I mean, technology, we have to do a better job of like things shutting down when you're in motion. But like whatever my settings were, it was like if you're in the car and when I'm at a stoplight, I couldn't get on my phone.
Yeah. Oh, really?
To change the song. It was like something, and I just turned it off. Like, I don't do it, but yeah, at a stoplight, I might.
Well, what's great about stoplights now is that everyone is on their phone, so no one.
Right.
There has to be so many fewer T-boning intersections at intersections because the guy running the red light now, there's nobody in the intersection because the people for whom the light has turned green. They're sitting there for like 10 seconds until the person behind them honks their horn because everybody's looking at their phone. We're fucking doomed. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, 60 seems a bit young. I mean, if we were talking about like retesting, I do think over 75, like we need to make sure people can drive.
Yeah. I agree with you there.
All right, so this week you guys were talking about Gillian Anderson banging the plumber, and it got me thinking, have we ever gotten any stories from our favorite resident plumber and any escapades he might have, come upon in his time?
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Maybe her friend could enlighten us a little bit on any extracurricular activities he might have been upon.
He wants to know if the previous voicemailer, Manuel,
has been part of a porn where he
if he's pumped on the job. I don't want to know that. I don't think any of our listeners want to know that either, LSU. You freak. What is wrong with this LSU Lala guy?
Listen.
Disgusting.
The guy is a sex machine. It's part of his DNA.
He's fucked so much, as he's told us on the show before. Hey, I fucked so much, I don't even remember all the fucking. Yeah, I fucked so much.
Played out like a porn. So, like, that's just how he thinks.
Yeah, it's because I was fucking so much, I did not have the idea for Raising Cane's. I could have had the idea for Raising Cane's, right, but I was busy fucking.
Right.
Unbelievable. Okay, thanks for that. Let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports that we need to know about?
Anybody who watched like the USA Network in the 80s knows Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
No, Elvira. Well, yes, that's true. But before she came to prominence nationally, Elvira had a local show here in LA on like Channel 9, you know, like middle of the day on Saturday. See, growing up, the kids these days don't know because everything's on demand. Growing up in like the summer, there was hardly any baseball games on TV. And that's the only sport going in the summer, right?
Right.
So if you're home on a Saturday or whatever, and you flip on the TV in the middle of the day, there's only few channels anyway. Here's your choices in the middle of the day. And these aren't bad choices. You get a Kung Fu movie on Channel 13. Or you get a horror movie midday, hosted by Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
But maybe, I think that might have been syndicated, because I remember seeing her, like, do the horror movies, Channel 5 or whatever. Like, she would be the host. And then she got her own movie, but that was already, she was a known, like, hostess of that stuff.
She, and for people that don't know her, Google Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and what her whole thing was, she had a huge rack.
She looked like a racier Lily Munster kind of look.
Yes. The wig, the long black dress, and just giant, very
cleavage,
opalescent. What's a nice word to say, like, pale skin, fair. Fair. Complected, just beautiful, big, round implants. So what's up with Elvira? What's she up to these days?
Cassandra Peterson has a new memoir, and in it she accused Wilt Chamberlain of sexual assault.
Well, I mean, I believe women.
What I would say is it was a very rapey time.
Yeah, it was a different time.
For essentially the 10,000 years before, like,
it was it
40
was.
Years ago. And then it was pretty rapey. And then about 5 years ago, then it really
got less fresh. Rapey.
But
yeah.
But Wilt Chamberlain put up numbers.
Big time. And
I think I'm not saying it was right, but I think that was like just par for the course. Like, I don't know about him specifically, but it was like, it was, you know, in Goldfinger.
Yeah.
James Bond kind of forced his way on Pussy Galore. Like, it was just kind of part of the culture, and it wasn't a good part of the culture, but it was a part of the culture. So I tend to believe her on this one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely believe her. It was a different time. Guys were grabby as fuck. There was grabbing. There was forcing.
Ohio State linebacker Kayvon Pope stormed off the field in the middle of the game versus Akron this weekend, threw his jersey into the crowd, and tweeted, "Fuck Ohio State."
Love that.
During the game.
Like, I think he did.
It was like early, like
two C's. Too.
Yeah, two C's. Yeah. But it was like during the third quarter. And people like, I guess Kayvon Pope's off the team because he did it like mid game.
You pay attention to this kind of stuff. Does he have NFL talent?
I mean, if he played for Ohio State, I assume that's the dream of anybody who goes there because they're always pretty loaded. But I don't, you know, it's not like he was Chase Young and people are like, oh, he'll be, you know, top pick. I have no idea. Maybe he was a freshman linebacker. I don't know anything about him, but he certainly didn't like, I'm guessing he wasn't getting enough playing time in the Akron game. So maybe he was a youngster.
No one's going to say fuck Ohio State and have me disagree.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, hey, I'm for that. That's something I'm for. If you're saying fuck Ohio State, I agree with you because fuck those guys.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's right. Exactly.
Another person I would be fine him, Kayvon saying fuck. Michael Jordan.
Yeah, you hate Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan's son, Jeffrey, was accused of assaulting a hospital staff, several hospital staff members after a slip and fall.
Yeah. The old slip and fall. We just talked about this.
Yeah.
This is the deer meat injury.
This is Boggsian.
Yes. Slipped and fell, and then I got really mad at a bunch of hospital workers that were trying to stitch me up.
Right, because when I trip, I get very belligerent and fight.
Yes. It's like when Hunter Pence walked through a sliding glass door. Well, no sober person has ever walked through a sliding glass door. That's exclusively the domain of the drunk. And the only drunk people are taken to hospital with slip and falls and then try to fight the nurse. That's the only answer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a somewhat clumsy guy that I'll like trip over something.
Oh yeah.
But you don't have a catastrophic injury or arrest because you're a little bit clumsy.
Yeah.
Methodist University.
Made up. That's not real.
Not Southern Methodist, just Methodist.
Methodist. Is this a Jerry Falwell situation?
Well, I mean, that's Liberty, but sounds similar.
Same diff.
Well, sorority there was suspended indefinitely after they gave a racist presentation where they described black football players. Their features compared to the white guys.
Oh, no. Oh, they're dicks.
Yeah,
they're talking about their dicks.
No, wait, I think they were describing like everything from lips and it was a whole thing. I read it was not good.
Where's the entertainment value in that? Like, that is so upsetting.
Listen.
What are you getting out of that? I don't get it. I don't understand.
If you're attending Methodist University, I'd be surprised if you weren't putting those slideshow presentations together.
Yeah, I get it.
Those kind of schools.
Right.
It doesn't make it right, but it doesn't make it surprising. I mean, I'm not surprised by that whatsoever.
It's, you know who it sucks for is like that, the like three black people that go to Methodist University and they're, you know, they're like stuck in that and like have to kind of play along that they're not offended by it.
It's
kind of tough. Yeah.
So there's a lot of history at religious schools in the Bible Belt. I'm guessing Methodist University. Oh, it's in Fayetteville. Yes.
Arkansas?
Yeah, I believe that's Fayetteville. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. North Carolina.
I was going to say there's a Fayetteville, North Carolina. Yeah.
So Fayetteville, NC. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of history of how racism and religion and political movement all kind of merged together. Because it used to be the religion, like far right Christian there was no connection. There was not a religious rite, but it actually, a lot of it came from these religious schools that wanted to protect their racism and their, you know, beliefs that they realized it was kind of a both sides thing. Like, well, we can get all of these votes if we give them a couple of, you know, we throw them a bone on abortion. Right. And they said, oh, and we can claim religious persecution if we if these people do our thing. So Methodist University does not surprise me. They're part of
not at all.
A Mexican TV host who once proposed to Tom Brady, she's now on the run after being accused of embezzling $146 million. Inez Gomez.
I mean, Ed, I'm only going on, like, I don't know Inez Gomez.
Yes, you do.
But you said said Mexican TV host.
I said TV host. You're going to guess.
I'm going to guess she's got a fat ass and large breasts and a skinny waist.
She looks pretty good in this picture.
Yeah. How much did she abscond with? $3 billion pesos. Well, Ed, that's, no one can do that conversion. It's like $8. Like, no one knows how many pesos there are to the dollar, and it fluctuates.
Like, well, currently it's $146 million. People are going to want that back.
Yeah, especially the kind of people in Mexico that have that kind of money.
She better keep on running. That's all I can say.
This is a Marty Bird situation. Like, you don't want to cross these kind of people because they won't be nice about it.
She better get into the riverboat on the Ozarks kind of situation. She better, she better come up with a quick casino fix.
Yes. Come up with an assumed identity. Tell them that you're going to give them their $146 million plus another $146 million in laundered money back that they don't do what they do to people that steal from them.
And also hope your son takes some lessons on hunting so he can shoot people for you.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Barstool Sports founder and man who is in love with himself more than anyone, Dave Portnoy.
Mm-hmm.
He has entered the frozen hot wings market with an exclusive deal with Walmart.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, what are the odds that's even remotely good?
Look, I don't shop at Walmart, and I would encourage no one to shop at Walmart. They're bad for America. If you claim to love America, I just moved to a new neighborhood, and there are roughly 20 something American flags in my neighborhood. And these people are very patriotic. Apparently it's not a holiday as far as I know. If they love America, they wouldn't shop at Walmart because Walmart is anti-America. It's a bunch of Chinese bullshit.
So,
and low wage American jobs.
Yeah. And so what they do is they kill the mom and pops with economies of scale. And then eventually they just kill all the suppliers until that all they can really do is use Chinese products.
There's only one. There's only one. Look, I'm no Dave Portnoy fan. I mean, I am kind of like, it is pretty impressive that he's parlayed this thing into wings.
He's parlayed overt racism into wings.
Do you know who Blippi is?
No.
Blippi is this guy. He started on YouTube. And he does like a show where he's like the lowest possible rent Pee Wee Herman impersonator, right? I mean, he's like influenced by Pee Wee Herman. You know, it's remember that band, The Darkness? They weren't Black Sabbath, but they were their approximation of Black Sabbath. Yeah. So that's what this guy's doing. He's doing a Pee Wee Herman impression, and he does, and it's on YouTube, and it's on like other places too, Amazon, Peacock, it's around. And anyone that has a small young boy will know what this is. And he goes around and he's like, hey, this is a fire truck. And he goes around, and it's actually, you could see why a little child would like it. Cause he goes around and he's like, check out all these, here's the hose. Let's unroll the hose. And he like fucks around on a fire truck, and a little kid would like that, but it's very low rent, you know. It's like just one guy shooting it with the camera, and then I found his Instagram, the guy that, and Blippi is problematic, and we're not going to get into that right now because he did some art film stuff before he became Blippi. You're not, and it's not the kind of art. It's like Paul would be into the kind of art he was doing. But point is, I found this guy Blippi's Instagram, Ed. He has licensed every kind of fucking product you can imagine. He has like his, he has like this light blue and orange color scheme. And he wears these like light blue K Swiss high tops with orange laces. And you're like, ah, where did he get these? They're his. Oh. He's got his own fucking shoe, Ed. These guys, these guys, they do one thing and then they market it across everywhere. Look, I'm not buying anybody's fucking frozen chicken wings.
Right.
If I want to, if I want some chicken wings, I'm going to a bar or I'm making my own. I'm not buying frozen ones, but I appreciate the hustle. Like I can't blame, like it's not, I'm not in the market for the product, but I can appreciate that people are able to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. I don't know. Good for him, I guess.
I will say, I those early days of the pandemic where I was like ordering groceries.
Yeah.
And I was just on the
wiping
website.
Down our pizza boxes.
Just,
yeah.
Just trying, but trying to figure out like anything that just seemed interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I ordered at one time. I mean, I was just trying out all kinds of shit. Like one time I just made stuffing. Like it was like middle of March.
Yeah, I love stuffing.
Like, but I do. I have it at Thanksgiving and I know just like, you know, bread and butter. Like,
so good.
It's not good to have just all the time. And I remember like I was just stuck inside for a couple weeks and I'd ordered alcohol and I ordered and I one of the things I was like, I wonder if these frozen wings are any good. And they were disgusting.
They're yeah, they're not. No.
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Portland State football coach Bruce Barnum spent $14,000 on beer for fans at a game.
Now, did he did a thing where he's like, if you guys come to the game and sit in this one section, or maybe it was the whole crowd, he's like, I'll buy your beer.
Right.
And he spent Portland State. Look, if this was Irving Myers down at Florida and he's making $5 million or Dabo Swinney at the Clemson making $8 million a year. 14 grand is a fucking drop in the bucket. The Portland State guy, that's a state employee.
He's
probably
salary,
making a buck and a half.
His base salary is 200.
Oh, that's pretty good. Still though, 14 grand's not a 14. Yeah.
14. That's a chunk. 7% of your salary on some other people's beer?
That's a fucking Honda Civic.
Yeah.
Cash. Oof. I mean, Who knew Portland State had a football team before he did that?
I know that's where the run and shoot came from, but it came from there and then it went to bigger places. So that's how you know it. But Portland State, that he must have some security because he might be going somewhere else. Like he better have a good record if you're going to spend 7% of your salary on people's beer.
I would have to agree. It's a great marketing stunt. Hopefully some booster reimbursed him because this guy's on his hustle.
But once again, if it was a booster at an SEC school, they exist.
Yeah.
Is there a booster at Portland State?
No, there can't be.
No. And finally in sports, Aaron Rodgers said he's been growing out his hair for over a year. Do you want to guess what the reason would be?
He's auditioned for and won the role in a revival of Stephen Sondheim's classic Jesus Christ Superstar, which he will be playing on Broadway because he's well known to love to sing and dance.
Well, you're close. He's doing it for a Halloween costume.
Wow. Well, they have wigs.
They have wigs.
A year in advance?
I mean, that means your whole life is building on a year.
One night?
Because
it's
not even like a full day. It's not even a full day because, you know, people aren't celebrating Halloween at 9 a.m.
Halloween's on a fucking Sunday this year. He's got a game.
So he's going to give his post game interview and like what is he, Jean Valjean? What is he going to do?
It'll be something like he'll be like the dude or something, and we're like, oh, you don't even need that long hair for that. Like,
you know what? He'll be the dude, and you know what? The sports meathead guys will be like, oh man, is there anyone cooler than him?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And that's the thing. That's the thing about Halloween costumes. Like a couple years ago, you were Eazy-E for Halloween.
Yeah.
Which actually works because your name is Easy Ed Daily. I swear to God, Ed, I just figured that out right now. That you were, your costume was Eazy-E, and you're also Eazy-E.
But I wasn't, it wasn't, I was making up the costume because that was my
Twitter
handle. But yes, that's.
But clearly I'm the last person to realize that you were, but you wore a wig. It would not have been as cool if you had grown out.
Yeah. And like permed it up.
Yeah. And gotten a Jerry curl. Like it just wouldn't have worked the same. Yeah, it was funnier with the wig.
You did that for a year.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
To look like an uninspiring TV. Like
no, that's a lot. Sad. That's a lot. That's too much. Okay.
He wants us to know.
Yeah, he does. Well, it's time for Now Sports. Sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Now Sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Now Sports segment. Ed, what is happening in the world?
We just have one RIP this week, and somebody I can't say I thought about in 30 years or so, but Melvin Van Peebles, champion of the New Black Cinema. He was 89, and the father of, I believe, the director and one of the stars of New Jack City, Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah, Mario Van Peebles also did... What was that movie with? It's a good movie. It's Clint Eastwood, and it's like a boot camp movie.
Oh, is it Ridge?
Yes, Heartbreak Ridge.
Heartbreak Ridge.
He's in that. He was in lots. Mario Van Peebles was in a lot of movies in the '80s.
Yeah,
the son of Melvin Van Peebles,
and Melvin was the sweet, sweet back badass song, like a lot of 70s black exploitation movies.
Yeah, I believe Mario Van Peebles might have gotten it out for Playgirl.
Oh, interesting.
Hold on. I don't know why I think that.
You wouldn't do that unless you were feeling
good. Right. Right.
Because you are getting some serious eyeballs on that if you're posing in Playgirl.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with you. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Men know what they're looking for.
Oh, A to Z nude Mario Van Peebles. Hold on.
Oh,
then hold on. Oh, he might have gotten it out in a movie. I'm surprised because Mario Van Peebles has got to be pretty old by now. I'm surprised his old man was still alive.
I'm seeing his ass. I don't see.
Yeah, it's a lot of ass shots. No dong to speak of. Well, RIP.
RIP.
Melvin Van Peebles.
Johnny Depp.
Good dude.
Says cancel culture is, quote, out of hand. And also says no one is safe.
It's true. It's true. I mean, you're especially not safe if you do lots of cocaine and throw bottles of red wine at your grifter wannabe model wife.
You know, I've definitive proof that we're in a cancel culture because, you know, I was the last one of my crew, but, you know, they canceled Richard Grieco after If Looks Could Kill. Oh. And, you know, when was the last time you saw Harry Aoki? Harry Aoki, I didn't see him in anything. He's been canceled.
That's not his name. That's his character's name.
Yeah, Peter DeLuise, canceled. That's haven't his seen name. Him. Yeah, haven't seen him.
He's probably hanging out with his dad, Dom.
Well, DeLuise. Here's the thing. They've all been canceled. I mean, even Holly Robinson, you know.
She's hanging married to Rodney Pete.
Yeah, hanging with Mr. Cooper was a long time ago. She's been canceled. We've
now
all
she
been
hangs
canceled.
Out on Magic's yacht. No, she's fine. She's
well,
been canceled.
Fine, I won't even pick the 21 Jump Street. I'll just pick some other stars from the 90s.
Okay.
All right. How about O.J. Simpson? I haven't seen him in anything. Canceled.
He's on Twitter.
Yeah, I've seen him. He's been canceled. People won't put him in movies. Another true. One. River Phoenix. Yeah. Haven't seen him anywhere.
He's dying.
Canceled. Canceled.
No, he's passed away.
It's a cancel Jordy? Culture, and it's ruining our culture, and I was the last to be canceled, but, I mean, what more do you want? Chris Penn, haven't seen him in anything in decades.
That one I'll give you. I think he might have been canceled.
Canceled.
Oh, no, he died. No, he also died. Chris Penn. I was thinking of Doug
George,
Penn Hall.
George Gaines. The father of Punky Brewster. Haven't seen him in a few years. He's been canceled.
That's Captain Lassard.
Yeah.
He died.
Canceled. We're all canceled.
Yeah, well, look. Johnny, you got a big nut to make every month. And I get that's why you want to clear your name from what this harlot has done to you. I can't remember her name. Amber something. I can't remember her name.
The one who left Elon Musk plugs in my pillow.
Yes, that's right. That's right. She may have been cheating on you. You found evidence. You found stray plugs around one of your 9 condos in the same building.
Yeah. If you looked at the tips of the plugs, they said Tesla on them. There was a little Tesla symbol on the plug.
He's got his own line of plugs?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Who knew? That doesn't
surprise
me at all.
But I'm the one who's canceled. I'm the one.
That's, you know, I get it. I get it. That is just, you're really getting a raw deal. I hope you are able to rise above it. And I wish you luck in your further endeavors and maybe stop using so much cocaine and red wine.
So thank you. I'll take it under consideration.
I appreciate that.
Back. You cut out for a second there. A well-respected Italian priest suspected of stealing from the church collection plates to bankroll drug-fueled orgies has been arrested.
A well-respected, you know, these priests.
I'm starting to get the feeling.
Yeah.
That maybe we should think twice about anybody who's willing to give up all forms of sexuality.
Yeah.
To serve the Lord. Maybe.
Yeah, it's got to come out somewhere.
Maybe they aren't asexual beings. Maybe they're just hiding something.
Turns out no one is asexual. I mean, it does happen, but it's rare.
And it's very rare in the priesthood.
Very rare. I'm looking it up right now. I think I read somewhere that something like 50% of priests are actually, here's a Johns Hopkins University study says, I was right, that roughly half of all priests are sexually active at any given time.
Right. And I would say that number is still very low compared to what it is.
Yeah. It's because it's like when you go to the doctor and they ask you how many beers you have every week.
That's right.
You fucking lowball it. It's if you're a priest and you're fucking, not every priest that's fucking is going to say he's fucking. So maybe it's like 75%.
Yes.
Are fucking.
But yeah,
you know,
at least he's, it stinks that he was taking money that people thought were going to good deeds, but I've been to Vatican City.
They're so rich.
You know what?
You're so
rich. He was stealing for so they couldn't get another 20 gold doorknobs in the Vatican. I mean, the whole operation's a real scam.
And they still have these fucking Guatemalan dirt farmers tithe every fucking Sunday.
Yeah.
It's
a whole disgusting operation.
Yeah. No, it's a grift.
And so he just
there grifted. Is no God.
He just grifted for something else.
Yeah.
And the priest that I think the priest that baptized me, he had a rent boy and like got busted for my mom's church. Yeah, he got busted with like, you know, trips with his special friend, his like 18-year-old friend.
Like Pope Benedict.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. An 18-year-old. Well, I mean, you know, aim young. If you're gonna get caught eventually, you know, may as well be with what you're actually into.
A rare complication from a catheter may have caused a man to ejaculate through his anus and urinate feces. Now,
is that why Paul is no longer on Twitter? Is it because he's having the surgery?
Well, this guy, he finally was like, you know what? I've had enough. And you know when he did it? After 2 years of coming out his ass. And
that part's not great. Because there's probably sounds associated with that too, where you're like, and then like it makes sounds and as the cum comes out. And that's like, that would really kill the mood, I think.
Yeah.
But the first part, the second part that you said is, I mean, I would just take my own life. I would bob it myself.
Yeah. If you just look down the toilet, you're like, oh my God.
Hey, okay. All right. No, I get it. I can picture it. That's what the fuck? Like, is that possible? Can the fucking wires get crossed like that? So
I started reading and it was too much. You know, when you like read something and you just, you feel like physically ill from something. Yeah. But apparently like a bad catheter job just ruined the plumbing.
I haven't done it in a long time, but I used to, or I did for a while on Twitter every year on my birthday, I would figure out about how many days I'd been alive. And then I would tweet like, you know, 16,450 days without being catheterized. Cause it's like basically my number one fear.
It's awful, but I wouldn't tempt fate with that thing. I don't.
Oh, I shouldn't say it.
I'm just saying, me personally, I don't believe in curses and stuff. That being said, I would not want to like one day be like, shit, here
comes. No. No.
And then I want to be it out. I want to be out for every part of it.
Yeah. I mean, no thanks. No thank you. I'm out on that. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show. Viewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless.